to verse 30. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand does not. No, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the Feast of Declaration at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's called Dolion. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Thank you, Eric. We're beginning a new sermon series today. This is the sermon series on the I Am statements of Jesus. There are several I Am statements in the Gospel of John. There are seven in total. And when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, those types of things, he's not saying it in the same way like I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or I'm a shepherd's or I'm a carpenter's son. He's not saying this in the same light. The original text gives us that hint into that. So you're fortunate today. I'm going to give you a little bit of a language lesson in both Greek and Hebrew. Lucky you. In the English language really is a little bit different in that we separate our words up, our action words, our verbs from the doers of the action. Okay? Other languages tend not to do that so much, and Greek and Hebrew are two of those languages that tend not to do that. I think French is another one. So when Jesus says to say I am in Greek is eimi. Is eimi. It's it just means I am. So Greek, to say I am is eimi, to say you are is eisai, to say he is or she is eive, to the best of my knowledge and capability here. But Jesus says this word, but he puts another word in front of it when he talks about these I am statements. He says, ego eimi, ego eimi. And ego is I. So essentially, he's saying, I am. Which means I myself am. It's very important to remember that. Because when we're talking, when Jesus is talking about these statements in the Bible, and when John is writing this to his first readers and to his first hearers who are hearing this, a signal goes off for them. I myself am, says Christ, says Jesus. Points them back to a different time where they heard the word I am. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, Moses is standing in front of the burning bush. And Moses is talking to God, and he asks God, who shall I say is sending me to Egypt? And God says, I am. I am that I am. I am the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. That's the God you're to say has sent you. I am. Similarly, in Hebrew, the word is Yahweh. And in our Bibles, I've said this before here, it's all capitals, Lord. The Lord, when we see the Lord, especially in the Old Testament, and it's all capital letters, it's talking about the name of God, which is Yahweh, which is I am. So you see the similarities here. When Jesus is saying, I myself am, he is pointing to himself as being the Son of God in just that word itself. I am. I myself am. Ami. Yahweh. In Hebrew. And so, when Jesus says that he's the good shepherd, he's telling it like he tells the parables. He's illustrating the parables. He's illustrating these statements to show a greater point. Parables go to show easy to understand story that tells about the greater goodness of God, usually, or what happens with people. When Jesus talks about the I am statements, he's talking about the characteristics of God, of Almighty God himself. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. When I read this, I am the good shepherd, and maybe you did this too, you say, well, that implies that there's a bad shepherd. Doesn't there? Doesn't it? If Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, then there must be a bad or maybe a mediocre shepherd. And we can read about that in the Old Testament. If you were to turn to Jeremiah, and you may turn there if you want, to chapter 23 of Jeremiah. There's four verses that I'm going to read. Or you can just listen if you wish. Jeremiah 23. Listen to this about bad shepherds and the comparison about bad and good. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord, Yahweh, I am. Therefore, this is what the Lord, or Yahweh, I am, the God of Israel says to the shepherds who tend my people, because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares Yahweh. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, or will any be missing, declares, I am Yahweh, the Lord. You see the difference between good and evil here. Woe to those shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. Those who knew better, or who know better, who know what the Lord is all about, are taking the people and they're doing wrong by them. And the people are following. Sheep follow. And look at the good shepherd, God himself. He says it in verse 3. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. And I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, or will any be missing. You see, we're not God. The bad shepherds scatter the flock. The bad shepherds destroy the flock. The good shepherd, God himself, is saying here in Jeremiah that he's going to draw the remnant back. He's going to draw the flock back in, and he's going to care for them. He's going to tend to them. They will no longer be afraid. They won't fear anything. Let me go back to John. Jesus says the same thing in the text that Eric read today, between the good and the bad. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The hired hand is not the shepherd. The hired hand does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he runs away and he abandons the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep, says Jesus. And they will listen to my voice and be one flock. And when he was asked about it, why he just didn't proclaim that he was the Messiah, he says, I did tell you. The reason you don't listen to me is because you are not my sheep. You don't know my voice, says Jesus. I mentioned this before. Here, I think, we were in Jordan with the pastor's group on a tour bus, and I think we were on our way to Petra at that point. And the terrain is like this. It's hilly, fields on both sides, but they're not like fields around here. They're more like rock fields with a little bit of greenery coming up here and there. And there's Bedouin tents scattered every now and then. You see a tent of a Bedouin every now and then. And we're cresting this hill. It's a nice road, but we're cresting this hill in this tour bus. And all of a sudden, the tour guide goes, stop, stop the bus. And so the bus driver stops, and then he actually backs up the hill. And I'm going, oh, man, you don't want to back up a hill. But anyways, so he backs up the hill, and he pulls off to the side of the road. And we're all asked to get off the bus. And because the tour guide saw a shepherd on the side of the road. And he goes up to the shepherd, well, him and the interpreter go up to the shepherd, and they ask if the shepherd can call the sheep. Now, there's sheep in his field, and there's sheep across the road in the other field. And there's no fences, okay? Fences, forget it. There's just no fences. And the shepherd calls the sheep with grunts and groans, like really from his gut, like something like that. And doesn't the sheep start coming? Well, and if you know sheep, one starts coming and then the rest follow behind pretty quickly. And pretty soon we have sheep right in front of us. And the leader of the group says, take a look across the road. And there was nothing. Those guys, those sheep, they didn't hear a word. They heard the grunts and groans, whatever, because they could, but they didn't move. They weren't interested. They didn't care. And so you get an idea here of the shepherd calling a sheep, the shepherd who knows his sheep, the owner of the sheep, the one who tends to, that when the wolf comes, that he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. His sheep mean everything to him. That's Jesus, of course. Jesus, of course, is laying down his life for us as well. But when I look at the passage in Jeremiah, I start to shake. Because when it says, woe to those shepherds who scattered the flocks and destroyed the flocks, I start to shake. Because the last thing that I would ever, my greatest fear, folks, is scattering a flock. That's my greatest fear. And it happens so often these days. You know, for those of you who are old enough to remember Jimmy Swaggart or Jim Baker or more recently Bill Hybels from Willow Creek, you know, these pastors, preachers, televangelists, great guys, and they lead the flock astray. And many people leave the faith because of it. It's my greatest fear, guys. It's my greatest fear. And so you'd wonder, like, why would you want to do your job? Well, yeah, good point. But also, why would you want to become a leader of the church if that is the case? If all you're going to do is scatter the flock, or if all you're going to do is if you're living on pins and needles like that, why would you want to do that? But before we get too crazy about leadership, we should all know that each and every one of us are called to lead. Each and every one of us have to receive, who are Christian, who claim that they are Christian, receive the Great Commission. Go out into all nations and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded, says Jesus in Matthew 28. We are all called at some point to lead people to Christ. And it may be through our actions, it may be through our deeds, through living a life that's worthy of Christ. And when somebody says, hey, what's so different about you? You say, well, you know what, I have Jesus. But trust me, folks, just the fact that you're here right now says a lot. Says a lot about you here. And says a lot about you in other people's minds as well. Because the fact that you come to church, the fact that you believe in Jesus, the fact that you are part of a Christian group of people, says a lot about you. And it can say a lot about the way that you act in front of others. If people cannot tell the difference between you and someone else, you may be drawing them away from Christ. You may be one of those bad shepherds. It's a good thing, though, that we have a good shepherd to model after, a good shepherd to get our cues from, Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying about God that God loves and cares and will draw us in. And not only us, but will draw everyone who listens to him in. We are all called to carry out the Great Commission. May we follow Jesus when we do so. May we take our cues from him. May we listen to Christ as we continue to walk this journey. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, such a responsibility it is, because we know that our very actions, that our very deeds, Lord, sometimes can cause people to wonder if we are really Christian or not, if we are really followers of Christ. Our very actions, deeds, words, Lord, cause us to be truthful about ourselves, God, and we pray that as we continue to live this life that you've called us to, that you would allow us to see where we're going wrong and to correct that, Lord, so that we can live an upright life for you, becoming more holy, or as the church word is, sanctified for you in that ever-increasing journey, ever-increasingly in the journey that we are living. Because, Lord, this is all about you. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus, amen.